Shall we turn to Isaiah chapter 6? I just feel that the Lord has just laid on my heart these verses. It's really a summary of what we've been worshipping about this morning. And I say that if anybody has their finger on a scripture that refers to what I'm just talking about, feel free to give me the verse and we'll read it. We're worshipping together. We've come this morning to remember the Lord and to praise Him. And I don't mind if somebody says here's another verse. But I was just this morning reminded even of those verses that Craig brought before our minds about holy, holy, holy. The holiness of God and the fact that we have come together this morning to praise and to worship that great and holy God who sent His Son to die in our room instead. Let's read through, and I'd like just the scriptures to speak for themselves this morning. If I can't find one particular spot I might be referring to, well, put your hand up and tell me where it is. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved with the voice of him that cried." Can you just imagine that? As those words rang out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." How do you feel, brethren and sisters, within yourself as you hear those words? And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And even as I think this morning of myself and ourselves, here was somebody who just felt that they were so unworthy. And that's how we feel this morning. But you know, in our unworthiness, God doesn't want us to just sit down there. He wants us to get up. And He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to adore Him. He wants us to love Him. That's our great God. And I think this is a wonderful verse here. This person, he says, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now this verse says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Isn't that wonderful? I think it was our brother Gerald Bourne when he was here, and I made a bit of a note there. He said it's like the grace of God in a hurry. Think about that, the grace of God in a hurry. Here was this man, he was feeling so unworthy in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken, and thy sin is purged. Doesn't that remind you and I of our great salvation? You know, that moment when we realized our unworthiness, that moment we realized our need of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and at that point when we surrendered and asked him to come in to our hearts and lives, it was like the seraphim that flew. And that very moment, that very instant, we felt that relief right there and then of that burden lifted upon from off our backs. Wasn't that wonderful? A wonderful experience. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said he, here am I, send me. Now, our brother, born when he was here, I think he made some references to the fact that about looking in this passage. And he said, a look to God, a look within, and a look, and outward look. Now I don't intend to talk about all those things, but to let the scriptures speak for themselves, and we can speak to our own hearts. Our brother from Cardiff this morning gave us that hymn, Gazing on Thee, Lord in Glory, while our hearts in worship bow. There we read the wondrous story of the cross, its shame and woe. And my mind was focused this morning on the fact that we are looking at these emblems. We are looking at that scene. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God of hosts. And we're looking this morning as we partake of these emblems at the Lord Jesus Christ as he paid that great price for you and I. But I'd just like to go on here as we started with this look of the holiness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that men and women today, they are thinking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are gazing, they are looking, and they are gazing. And so the first passage I'd just like to read is, let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Going to read these scriptures, and I hope that the Lord will speak to our hearts. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. We go to verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard that the king had departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they had saw, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Now verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures. They had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now here we see another gaze. First we gazed into that scene in heaven. Now, and then we gazed and we read how that the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture, where he said, I will go. And here in this scene here, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in that manger in Bethlehem. And here comes the shepherds, and here comes the wise men, and all those men. And they gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, that babe that was born eventually to die for you and me. But they gazed on him, and they looked at him as he lay there. There was our Redeemer. And as I move around and as I think, and you've seen too in the shops, these nativity scenes around the place, and you see people going around and they look at all these wonderful settings that men have created, and the baby in the manger as they depict it, and people gaze on it and they look at it, and the boys and girls and the mums and dads, they all look, they all gaze. But I wonder how many of them, right deep down in their hearts, really realize that that babe there was born to die for their sins. I'm just reminded about a little incident. We don't normally take much examples from the world, but on the 2CBFM radio station I was just listening, and there was a little incident or a little example given of a Christmas scene, and thinking about the soldiers in East Timor and other places and how they came together to celebrate this time of Christmas. And the announcer was saying now that many years ago, and I can't remember it all, you might have heard it, but I'll go as far as I can. But he was saying how that they had this little service on Christmas morning to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the soldiers gathered together, and the person who was giving the sermon, he said, now, those of you who have your Bibles, just open at this passage. And they began to read this passage. But one soldier, right in the midst there, didn't have the Bible, but he had a pack of cards, and he put that down and opened it up and just left it there. And then later what happened was one of the other soldiers came along and told the commander what had happened. And they called him up and they said, now that was a very bad thing to do. That was a terrible thing to do in church. Now, what have you to say for yourself? He said, do you have anything to say for yourself? And he said, oh yeah, I do. And he said, well, he said, I didn't have the Bible, but I opened those cards, and this is what it reminded me. It reminded me, number one, of the God in heaven, the one and only true wise God, the one and only God. He said the two reminded me of the Bible, which is divided into two sections, the Old and the New Testament. And I thought about that. The three reminded me of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The four reminded me of the four Gospels, and he spoke about that a little bit. The five of the five wise virgins and so on. Now, I can't remember any more, but one of the things he also said about in the end was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they came to gaze, they came to look on the one who was the King of Kings, and here was our Lord Jesus Christ, born in this manger, and they all came and gazed upon him. We have done that this morning, and with the eye of faith we've seen him around these emblems. We go over to Matthew's chapter 27. Here am I, send me. And we read from verse 34, and they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. That was the verse. And sitting down, they watched him there, they looked upon him, they gazed upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung upon that cross. Some of them, well, as in verse 39 says, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. We know that there were those who gazed upon him, and they gazed upon him in mockery. And that's what we have in the world today, that men and women, they hear concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, they, so to speak, gaze upon him at this time, but sad to say, in mockery. But praise God, we go down to verse 54, and there was the centurion. He was also gazing, he was also looking. And now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, gazing on him, looking on him, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? And there's where you and I, dear brethren and sisters, come in as those men and women around and about us gaze and pass their comments. For you and I to stand up and express our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do. Those words of our brother Bourne, the inward look, the outward look to the world, to tell him, not to stand there and say, well, just listen to what they have to say, but to engage in conversation and to uplift our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And here was the centurion, and I don't know how his outburst was or whatever over the people around about him, but he said, truly, this was the Son of God. And oh dear friends, this morning, as we gaze and as we look inwardly and outwardly, may that be our aim to the world, to show them and point them and to look upon the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he died. He was buried. Let's look at another section, John chapter 20. And the first day of the week, when it was early, cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and I know not where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. We know the rest of that section, so we go to verse 11 for the sake of time. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And when they had said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these words unto her. There was a wonderful occasion for Mary. She saw the Lord. She gazed upon him. And as we read that passage later, as the Lord appeared to the disciples, it said, And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Do you feel glad this morning, my dear brother and sister, as we've seen the Lord this morning in the emblems upon the table, and as we've worshipped him? Let's just turn to Acts chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Praise God. Here we see the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ was now going to return to heaven. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked and gazed steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. Isn't that wonderful? There's another promise. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And so they gazed upon him as he ascended back to the throne of God. Revelation chapter 5, our last reading. And I feel we've virtually touched on a lot of this morning. And this is just perhaps a little summary, and how it should make our hearts glad. And verse 1 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" And we know that story about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he came. And verse 9 then tells us, "And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our kings, unto our God, kings and priests, and shall reign on the earth.'" Chapter 6 and verse 1, "And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was written, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts come and see, and behold, I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Dear friends, here again, back in that scene where the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and singing unto him the praise and the worship that is due unto his great and holy name. May we, from this time on, as we seek to witness for him, go on conquering and to conquer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who revealed himself to us, the one whom we've seen this morning in the emblems, and whom we've worshipped this morning. May God be with us. This is the last year of 1999, but into the future, as we seek to behold him, and as people gaze upon him, may we be there to proclaim his name and his great salvation, for his name's